Thank the light, everybody. I am Desmond. This is my hetero life mate.
Parched Ailman. Actually, just kidding. I'm Justin. I'm Parched Ailman on Twitter.
He's too busy typing slander into my chat window to talk to you people out there, you fine, fine listeners out there. Thank you for joining us. We have something very special planned for the next couple episodes. I have always wanted to do some full-length commentaries for movies or shows or something, and it's just, for whatever reason, it's never worked out. And I feel like, you know what, we're at the beginning of this adventure. Everyone's just finished the first season. They're probably going to do a rewatch. This would be a really fun way to do a rewatch. We're going to sync up with you. We're going to hit play. And we're just going to bullshit our way through the episodes. No pausing. If I got to pee, then you're just going to have to deal with the silence. If Fatty's doing shots, you're just going to have to be jealous. I don't know what else to tell you.
Bro, we've been dreaming about commentaries since we used to watch The Clerks Coming. Like, I didn't know what a commentary track was until you're like, hey, these DVDs, man, they got these like commentary tracks. And then we started like watching them. And like, I'll never forget, one of my favorite ones was the Fear and Loathing one with Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes.
And if any of you are fans of the movie Fear and Loathing, find the Criterion Collection and find the one with his, he calls and leaves Johnny Depp a nasty message. Actually, he leaves Johnny Depp a cool message. He calls Benicio del Toro and calls him like a scumbag. He's like, you're not answering the phone because of your goddamn wretched ambition. He goes out and shoots a shotgun. Yeah.
Even if you're not a fan of that movie, if you're fond of good, just random human beingness, that is classic.
Yeah, just random off the cusp funniness. Hunter S. Thompson was a crazy
my
son of a bitch.
My first ever, sorry to cut you off. My first ever commentary was a double VHS of the movie Scream. And the second VHS had the commentary track on.
That's a random one for a commentary track. I swear to God, I think it was like Clerks or something, because there was like the Clerks guys, you know, they had a Jay and Silent Bob commentary. They had like a Steve, you know, like all the guy that the Scott Mosier had a commentary and Dante had a commentary. It was like so good.
Well, that was I think it was the Mallrats one was the total classic where Jason Mewes kept nodding off. And yeah. Ben Affleck kept kicking him.
Like, oh, sweet, sweet heroin.
So good. Which I think he's been clean for like way over 10 years. Like that's what got those two into podcasting, was that Kevin Smith was like, I need to keep you clean. So we're going to turn on the mic.
I need to give you a job.
Yeah, exactly. So this is the kind of great commentary that you're in for. We are definitely, definitely not going to stay on track. We will chime in. We'll talk about some interesting things about the movies, but we might just zone off and talk about Christmas dinner for a little while, and that's okay.
Buckle in, you nerds.
All right, I'm going to hit play, and then we are going to talk about what we're seeing on the screen so that we can make sure that we're in sync, and then you guys can make sure and sync up your video and enjoy the ride. Amazon Originals.
Here we go.
Smile face.
No way. Amazon made this?
Well.
I didn't know Amazon made this.
I thought they just sold books.
Yeah, I thought it was like only Kindle.
Naked back? Not naked back.
She's got a sexy back, dude. I have those gloves on right now.
You do? Are your subtitles on?
Oh, no. I should put them on probably.
Not that they need to be. I'm just wondering how you roll these days.
Oh, I'm a subtitle motherfucker. Because I'm practically deaf these days. I'm like, what?
That's why he's the Dragon Reborn.
Right. And hey, you know what's funny? I was just listening to The Great Hunt, and I did get a clue. Ishmael is yelling at Rand in a dream, talking about, she just keeps calling him Luce Theron. And he's like, you know, he's like, this is went on before you were even the dragon, you know? So I guess he is the Dragon Reborn, even when he's the dragon originally, because it's the same soul, you know? He just wasn't called the dragon till a certain age.
It's so weird that he's named Lou. Like, if I was, you know, my next life, when my name is Steve, you're not going to call me Desmond.
Right. Well, to think of Luce Theron, it's like Billy Joe type of thing. You know, it's like it's one name, but it's two names. And then like, I don't know. That was a hard one for me to grasp for a long time. I'm all lose. You mean Lewis? Lose? I don't know.
Are either one of them like a designation? Like, is like Theron, like...
I believe the third name has something to do with, like, you know, your... You know, like you kind of earn that title type of thing. Oh, Leandrin, you're such a bitch.
So two men have been chased, but it's not really two men.
Yeah. We're at minute 206 right now.
Nice. Good call. So this is definitely just an introduction for us. Like, these are nobodies in our main storyline. This is just a...
Yeah, watching, I want to, like, watching this as a non-book reader, you're like, what the hell's happening?
This guy must be important. No.
Right now, not at all. Not even a little bit. I mean, he could be if it comes out, because there are some things that were, like, you know, and whether it's true or not, it'll be, you know, coming to fruition. But they talk about how the White Tower likes to prop up false dragons to, like, make themselves look good, you know. So this guy could be
If they're not fighting crime, then why do they exist?
Right. If this guy could end up being somebody important, but I don't think so. Oh, I hate, you know what? You're filthy, Leandrin. I hate you. You know what? She doesn't even hold a candle to book Leandrin. Ugh.
I didn't realize they don't show any of the power.
Yeah, they really don't.
Because she said sisters, so in theory, they grouped up for that one.
Yeah, well, I think she's kind of mean like the Reds, because they're, you know, that's their whole goal in life, is to find men and gentle them. And have a lot of girl-on-girl action, because they really hate men.
I mean, that's why I like women. I got nothing against dudes, but I like women way more. That's all there is to it.
Same. Yeah, pretty people in parts, just let them go. This is a really cool shot. I don't know what this is. Fuck is this supposed to... Oh, hey, you know what this is? This is that first shot from the Metropolis, dude.
It
that
is.
Middle of the spot, remember?
There's the middle. That There's the circle.
Dude, that's the first shot. You know what? I actually saw something on Twitter about that the other day, and I didn't know what they were talking about. Now I get it. Oh, that's badass.
That's...
So our Lan and her are right there then. So obviously that's not the Eye of the World.
Oh, right, right. Yeah, the Blight is not there.
Because they're already there. So I wonder where they're at when that's happening.
That's right. I forgot the short intro on this episode. They just, like, let's go.
That's why I'm super excited on the rewatch, because this show is so fucking layered, dude. Like, I don't even realize it myself. I won't even realize it even on, like, rewatch, dude, how layered it is. It's awesome.
I forget that Nynaeve is who inducts her.
Yeah, she's wisdom. She's in charge of all the... Egwene is a character you kind of love to hate.
Did you see I don't know if I tweeted it or just texted it, that I saw a lot of braids last month.
What do you mean?
I haven't seen that many braids since the Mockingjay.
Oh, you're talking about, like, just IRL, like real life?
Yeah.
I hope that it has this kind of an impact. I, like I said, this was such a part of my growing up, man. They'd have to fuck it up really bad for me to hate it. And they're definitely not fucking it up. I think it's such a huge story to digest. They're doing the best they can. And it's one of those things that will get better and better, because the more information that you have, the better the story gets.
So this is one of those things, like you were saying, this isn't directly from the book. Like, this scene probably went on for two chapters, and they just summed it up with girl power, push.
Yeah. No, I mean, they just talk about how like the women's circle is very strong in Emmonsfield and that like men are kind of ridiculous. And even though there's a like a men's, I don't know, a men's club or whatever, but the village council, I think is what they call it. But then they have the women's circle and they're kind of like equal parts. So for like almost like a diplomacy type thing.
They're called Masons, Justin.
Oh God, Jesus.
Oh, you whiny little berry picker.
It was hard to see Bruce Bolton as Tam because I'm just like, oh, stab that fucker. He's a terrible person. I'm like, wait, but he's Tam, so now I love him. He's really quick with the bow. Easy he's... there, fucking trigger.
I got to work on a bow and arrow. I've always, even back playing games, even before Lord of the Rings came out, people who are quick with a bow is, that's a very sexy weapon.
Have you ever watched The Boys?
Yeah, for some reason we haven't finished it. It's one of those shows that just kind of got lumped in with a bunch of shit and we never finished it.
There's a character in one of those in the second season. He's like, why am I going up against people with Mac-10s that have a bow and arrow? He's like, then I realized it's timeless. It's not outdated or something like that. It's like, Hawkeye sucks. Give this guy a bow and arrow. He's basically Hawkeye.
I remember before all the Marvel movies came out, Patton Oswalt had a bit where he's just like, go to the Avengers. They got a guy with a bow and arrow in there. They'll let fucking anybody in.
I grew up shooting a bow, so.
Oh, did you? Oh God, you're such a hick. I forget. No, that's not a hick thing to do, but it's just backwoodsy kid shit. But I forget that you grew up in the sticks.
Thing to do.
But not in the city because you just don't have room. Like I couldn't have a bow and arrow at home, but I knew friends who lived on the outskirts that did. So I was straddling both worlds.
Yeah, I had a buddy whose dad would go like deer hunting with a compound bow. So we'd go out and shoot bow all the time. It was pretty fun.
I love seeing this bar scene with all the like. I think that the first thing that you see is the women just partying.
Dude, it was funny too because
they just immediately are showing like this is a different world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that I can't really hammer home enough. It's just like this should you kind of said it in one of our first episodes, like this show screams that it was written like now. And it was written, 25 years ago, dude. And the things that are really coming across as being current are the stuff that they're definitely not leaving out of the book, which I love.
Yeah.
The thing that is kind of really, really hit me in the face right here. It's like, they're very innocent kids in the books. So to see them in an ale and Matt being kind of like lecherous a little bit, even though you realize he's wanting to steal the gal's bracelet, it's like, you're kind of like, dude, these aren't my Emmonsfielders that are so innocent. And like, we're talking about stealing badgers and shit and like putting them in someone's, like canning, hen house or something. I don't know. It was just like, that was one of the big things is Matt's like, I caught a badger. We're going to let it loose and send Bowie's, chicken coop.
Oh,
and it's like now we're gonna get drunk. I'm gonna steal some shit. We pushed Egwene in the river. It's like this fucking.
They're partying. Egwene is cheersing. Oh, he already knows he's lost his woman.
Yep. He's already heard about it. He's like, He won't give it up, though, this fucking kid.
I mean, he's the dragon, no matter how nice of a dragon he is.
I like the gal. She's just like smoking. The lady's just smoking the pipe at the table. Like, what's up?
I know it's so much later. I didn't realize this at first that they've been. This is like hour six of this party.
You made a really good comment. You're just like, yo, it's like. It's so fast and yet so slow at the same time. It's like they're like, and wait till you start getting into like the book Maya the World, you'll be like, that's a perfect assessment because it's literally like some parts are just screaming through, and then it's like, let's fucking minute detail this. Oh, that was a Stones board. Stones is a game that they play in this world. It's kind of like chess, I think.
Oh, no way. Oh my God, already? I did not. Yes, it is.
God, I don't really like love Rosamund Pike, but her as Moraine kind of gives me a little Junior Woodchuck. The one thing I don't love about her is she's her over like theatrical channeling, like.
That's got to be direction, though. I don't think that's an actor choice. I feel like...
Here's my theory, and please, anyone listening, feel free to weigh in. It's like, blues are very strong channelers, but they also are kind of like, you know, you can tell she's kind of Obi-Wan-ish, you know? She's like a jack of all trades. She's strong, but she's diplomatic. She knows how to talk to people and the right way at the right time. And I think that's part of it. I think it's like, you know, the greens are more adept with like, you know, using the power in like a defensive type of way, you know, like the reds too, their strengths are probably shields because they have to shield men. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this isn't something that I really, this is like a book thing. This is just what I'm gathering from the show. Like why she's so theatrical. It's like, yes, blues can be very powerful weaving, like kind of battle magic, quote unquote. You know, I think so you have to be a little more theatrical about it because they don't have as much practice. I mean, that's just what I think. Because, like, you can see, like, in the scene with Loghain and stuff, when we get ahead, like, you'll see the greens are much more judicious with their movements. Very, very small, almost like force push style. Like, whoo! And they, like, they do a lot of damage.
Well, and the first time we see Rosamund Pike wield the power, she's moving a fucking house. You know, I don't think she moves quite that much later.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that when we get to it. Right now, Perrin is talking to his almost late wife.
Yeah.
Pregnant wife.
Is she pregnant?
Well, he grabs her belly as if to say, like, I don't know. They really zoomed in on that belly tap.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder almost if the closeness with Egwene is because, like, maybe like her and Layla were very close. You know, maybe Layla seems. Maybe she likes girls too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, I don't know. You know, it's like you always try to, like, when you watch something like this, you read too much into it. You're like, okay, is she just kind of tough looking because she's a blacksmith? Or are they trying to, like, gender roll her up into, you know, like the kind of like more butchy girl on girl? It's like, and it's like, you know, she's probably just a blacksmith, dude. Calm down.
Yeah.
This was weird to me too, because, you know, Matt, the Eamon's Fielders, like, you know, I'm not that there's not issues in those kind of families, but they really, like, Matt's family was not, to my knowledge, like this. You know, his dad was a really good guy. His dad was really best friends with Rand's dad. And their families were close, and you know, it was nothing like super dysfunctional, like mom's drunk and dad's a lecherous asshole. He was close with his sisters for sure, but, you know, more like just in like a.
I wonder if this is to make Matt's downturn a little bit more believable. Like he comes from darkness, so it was an easy switch for him to hit bottom.
To be honest, I think it was part of the kind of like the trolling of the five-headed dragon to make him be like, oh, you know, he could, you know, this would be the last guy you want to go to be the dragon, because he's already halfway there as far as the dark side, you know?
Yeah.
And like, and even they make Perrin, even though Perrin is just as virtuous as Rand, like, how do I say this? Rand's one of those cats that does right no matter what. It doesn't matter. Oh, well, if it's right and I have to get my arm cut off of the elbow, like, fuck, okay. You know, that's, you know, I messed up. Parents kind of like, yeah, you know what? Maybe that's the right thing to do, but I'm more important whole to the people that I'm taking care of. So while you might be right, you can go ahead and fuck off unless you're going to come take that arm yourself.
You're going to take all of me or none of me?
Yeah. Parents like virtuous in a way, but he's also like, That's why I just, man, that kid, like, I really hope it's poor, like, not poor direction, but they're really kind of trying to play up the like, oh, I'm just a big guy and I got to be slow and think about everything or I'm going to hurt somebody. And so that when he, like, I think they're trying to make his shift more dramatic than it is in the books. And it's like, it's kind of a slower process. Oh, sexy kissing.
Yeah.
I don't know if Rand and Egwene ever kiss in the books.
That's so weird. Is there any love affairs in the books? I mean, besides the war?
Totally. They're very vague about it. Robert Jordan was like, that was one of the things like I really liked about it is like so many things. It's like they'll at least some point they'll get too like into the love affairs and it's like they're there. But it's also kind of like, yo, we're in a fucking 3-year death race to the last battle. We don't exactly have time for fucking love affairs. If we can steal some kisses, maybe a night together when we're not getting attacked, great. But, you know,
we'll fuck when it's over.
Yeah, like if we get a chance to fucking lay one out, let's do this. But, you know, like my priority is like, I got to get these people ready for the last battle.
That's weird. I was just going to say, were they younger in the book? But no, they have to be 20. The whole point of the story is 20 years. So they're like,
yeah,
yeah, you're getting.
Oh, sweet. Hello.
Speaking of sexy.
But. He's a pretty good looking dude. What can you say? He's a big, tall, strong man.
If I had to get in that hot tub, I'm not sure which direction I would go.
I got two hands.
I would definitely ask for the water to be warmer.
I saw these memes of land in the books. Oh, death is heavier than mountain sheep herder. Land in the show. Oh, my water's too cold, mom.
Chilly. Much
honestly too, it is one of the things that I do kind of look, I mean, probably because I'm an OCD freak and if you know if I take 9 showers a day, but like the fact that they're not dirty as fuck all the time in this show, like god damn, it's like, could you imagine the smell of Game of Thrones people if they were real? It's just like, y'all go hop in that river and you stink.
Seriously, that's as easy as it is too. Yeah, it's not like you have to run a hot bath and get fucking bubbles going. Like, just jump in the river.
Yeah, fucking take some grass and scrub your taint a little bit. Scrub that. You scrub the taint off sighting.
The fact that head exists at all in Game of Thrones is just. And I'm a dirty dog. I am a dirty, dirty dog, but. No.
Seriously, dude. I'm going to go get a hooker. No, never. No. That smells like fucking 3-week-old fish, and I don't want any of that or what might come of it. Weirdo, dude. The only reason I said that is I've been listening to these true crime podcasts, and there was this lady who, like, it's like she killed her brother by accident supposedly, but then like she was a professor someplace and like someone took like the last booster chair at like Applebee's or something, and she's like, I will make a herpes bomb and give you herpes.
This like, is an she's like a quote? Scientist.
This is a real person.
Oh my god.
I was listening to it today and I was like, what?
Whoa.
Is that a thing? Can you make a scientific herpes bomb? That sounds terrifying.
Are you watching the new Dexter?
I watched the first episode and it was good.
I've been watching it. There's a true crime podcast on there that's kind of got Dexter pegged, and that's kind of part of the twist. It's interesting.
Oh, cool.
We got a fade.
Oh. I'm so glad that they didn't fuck this up. I was, you know, because like the fades that I've seen from like fandom drawings are almost like they look like a, you know, a curly haired blonde guy with a pale maggoty skin. And it's like it's a little creepy in its own way, but like I think that they did good being a little more monstrous with it. They got a little Voldemort-y with it with teeth, but that's okay.
I'm gonna keep my eye on this guy.
talking too much. I should be looking for Easter eggs.
I want to see, what's his name again? Pot on? No, this isn't Pot on Fane, is it? Or is this Pot on?
Who, right here? No, this is.
Who's the, not this guy.
Why did she have scars on her? That's Perrin. That's Pot on Fane.
That's Pot on Fane.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep my eye on him.
Yeah, seriously, watch how much that motherfucker shows up, dude. Oh, Matt. He was such a good dark Matt. I think that it's going to be okay because Matt has a really big transformation in the books. Like, you know, he's kind of a whiny little fuck. And then he just, you know, he gets all weird and paranoid because of the dagger. And then they heal him and he like gets better, but he's still kind of like Han Solo-ish. He's like, I don't want to stick my neck out for people, but he always ends up doing it. And so it's just, and by the end, it's like, he's so badass. He's like, it's like, there's a million Trollocs coming. He's like, oh, here we go again, bro. He just like jumps right in. Shots, shots, shots. Yeah, I need Buffalo Trace whiskey.
Yes. Justin, what are you drinking?
Buffalo Trace whiskey. Can we get a sponsorship? Because it's delicious. I have Buffalo Trace soap and it makes me smell wonderful.
What? You have the same soap and whiskey? That's hot.
Lisa got me this fucking soap for Christmas. It's awesome.
And I'm drinking straight cold brew coffee, so we're going to be going different directions quickly.
You're going to be up longer than me, man. Jesus.
Yeah, I will. I guarantee you I fall asleep before you.
Cold brew makes me sleep.
Rand and Egwin are sitting on the ledge talking about how they'll never be together. And it's sad.
It is kind of sad.
My name is Rand, and I just want to be a goat herder all my life. I don't want anything else to happen ever except goats and the herding.
Just want to have babies with my girl Egwin and be the leader of the sheep. And trust me, Rand, you do way better, buddy. Egwene sucks.
No, don't talk about her like that. She's beautiful.
She was a bad girlfriend. She's beautiful, but she's a bad girlfriend. She's not super loyal.
She wants her own thing, and unfortunately, her own thing is celibacy, but... Yeah, hey, everyone out there, you know what's not sexy? Celibacy.
Dude, I saw this kid at the store the other day wearing a Virginity Rocks t-shirt, and I was just like, what? That's one way to go with it.
Choice Virginity Rocks. Whatever you got stuck with, buddy, is sad.
Yeah, no, he was like fucking 50. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. He was like...
Is he oh, fuck. What do you call those fuckers?
The fucking lame-ass white men that live in their parents' basement and are sold by choice because no one wants to fucking have them.
What do you call it? Sella?
Who cares? They suck anyway. It doesn't matter.
I know. I can't believe.
It's kind of trippy how they went all Predator with Nynaeve's raids, I should say. Yeah. Whiskey's kicking in. Ruh-roh. Because I always picture her braid just being like super thick and long like Egwene's. But... she's got like the dirty little fucking braids all into one. I don't understand what this is either. This whole like...
An incel!
Incel, that's what it was.
Involuntary celibate. Jeez, it's so weird because it sounds like you're a terrorist, not a...
Yeah. fucking Moraine. She's trying to be like, oh, you've only had the braid. She's like, she's just trying to get your age. She don't give a shit about how long you've had your braid, lady.
Oh, that is what she's... Thank you. She is just attacking her. It's. But I guess Moraine, she's just all about the ends justify the means, and she just wants her fucking answers.
Yeah.
No matter how rude she has to be.
Yeah, she's about as fucking subtle as a brick to the head. She's like, you know, she's just like, yeah, I don't fucking got... Like, I think she's like, it's kind of like one of those things. It's like when you're a line cook and you've been fucking 8 hours, you're like, can we just bang out these last four orders and get the fuck out of here? Like, she's been on this shit for 20 years. She's like, can we just get the dragon and get this over with? I'm ready to die or, you know, move, keep whatever, you know, like just... I can't do this job anymore.
I will buy Table 5's burger. I will not refire it.
Get him a shot. Get me one, too. Tell him to suck it easy.
Hey, get the suck it easy. Get the fuck out of here. Oh, the ladies are on the bridge. Listen to the wind.
God damn, I don't miss fucking line cooking ever.
Oh. It was so weird. I was talking about it the other day with someone because I have friends now that are just like, you cooked? I'm just like, fuck. Yeah.
You're like, dude, I cooked. I was a fucking slayer of a cook. I was Conan the fucking breakfast cook. Yeah. I
went to college at 38. That's how much I cooked.
Dude, and why I decided, like, right when I first moved to Seattle, like, I'm going to dive headfirst into line cooking when I used to pick you up at Glow's on Sundays and you're just sitting out back crying, smoking a cigarette. Like, what's wrong? You're like, nothing. It's just my day.
This is what cooking breakfast does to you. Cooking dinner makes you angry. Cooking breakfast makes you fucking sad.
Yeah, I was doing good until the vegan heroin addict I worked with went and fucking nodded off in the bathroom for 2 hours and then we got really behind. What?
Yeah.
Dude, it's funny. I remember picking you up that day. That was when I first moved to Seattle. That was when, like, we got really to be really tight. It was like, you're like, dude, can you just pick me up? I can't ride the bus home. I have had a hell of a day. I was like, I'm on my way, bro. I had a blunt and like an eighth of weed. We're going to get super stoned. Like, it's all good. You're just sitting out back with your head in your hands. Man, that looks fun.
He didn't have either one of those things. Well, he maybe had the eighth, but he had a 4-foot bong between his legs. He did not have a blunt, people.
Okay. You know, it was 22 inches. And
Justin used to measure bongs by how well they fit in his car.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, sweet. Can I just tilt my head a little bit and hit the bong while driving? Perfect.
It's just under the window, but I could reach it. Sold.
Jesus, I have kids, dude. What a what the hell? They're good kids too. That's the crazy part. They're great.
We were at Thanksgiving dinner. The whole fucking family is there. And my cousin goes, so are you sober or are you California sober?
Well, like you eat edibles all day.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, too, where her and I were kind of having a private conversation, even though it was in the middle of everybody. But everybody was having a loud conversation. And of course,
I take CBD and Zoloft. So, yeah,
it was just all the air got sucked out of the room. And all you could hear was, so you sober, California sober.
Just like, you hear the records. You know what? We'll come back to this. I got to go pee. <It's> just,
<yeah. laughs> I'm definitely not Zoloft sober. I'll tell you that much, folks. Last time I refilled, my doctor gave me a year's supply.
Jesus Christ. Fuck. That's the difference between California and Washington. Fucking Lisa couldn't fucking suck somebody's dick for fucking 10 lorazepam a month. But if you want fucking, you know, some sort of antidepressant, they're like, we got you for the next 10 years, buddy.
Yeah.
I got a bad knee and a jacked up back. I couldn't beg somebody for 10 Vicodin in a month.
Yeah, you gotta kill for
not that I really want it. It's just, you know, some days it's like, man, I can't sleep. My knee hurts.
I won't abuse it, doc, but you just gotta give me 5 a month.
Seriously.
Just keep it coming.
Tylenol ain't fucking cutting it, bro.
So lanterns are being released.
Oh, back to the show.
I forget how much we see of Perrin's wife. I always think that they like show her just so we know who she is, and then he stabs her. I forget we...
Hey, ow, dude.
Actually get to see them hanging out.
What the fuck are you doing? My dog is like trying to attack my hand. Stop.
Oh, that's right. And Egwene, or Nynaeve, she's all sad because...
This is fucking cute. I totally didn't need any of this, though. I mean, this is great. Great, whatever. I don't see any point to having this for the story.
This is just the lull before the battle. This is just to give us...
Yeah. Oh, look how quaint these country people are. That's the thing that, you know, like really people even this far south, and they'd say like, if you're going from like extreme north to extreme south in this world that we're in, extreme north is like the Blight, Shael Ghul. Extreme south is Tyr, Ilion, and that's on the Sea of Storms, and that's the furthest you can go. And like people in Tyr and Ilion are to the point where they're like, they don't like channelers. They don't even really believe that there are people in Ilion that don't believe in snow, okay? I'm not joking. They say it in the books. Stop biting me. Yeah, no, they say it in the books. Oh,
I don't believe in beetles. I just believe in me.
Yeah, no, it's like they're like, she's like, oh, she doesn't believe in Trollocs or fucking snow. And I'm like, well, those are two big problems.
I don't believe in Santa Claus or teachers.
I came here to chew bubblegum and kick some ass, and I'm fresh out of fucking bubblegum.
All out of gum. Speaking of lulls, I'm going to go piss before the battle.
Oh, like you know, Denunzio. I love their square dancing. It's so cute. Perrin's really good at it, too, by the way. He actually closes his mouth. That's cool. This poor fucking guy. Just dancing with a pretty girl. He's like, oh, I'm having a good day. Oh, Trolloc axe to my back. Worst prom ever. Jesus. Ah, the town looks so good, though. Like, I mean... Just, it's what you picture their village looking like.
Ah!
Whoa.
Sorry, the subtitle said screaming.
I was like, whoa, is that you or is that a Trolloc? Fun. Just that they did such a cool job on the village, man. It's so awesome. Fun fact about Wheel of Time. Did you know that peaches are poisonous in this world?
Really?
Yeah. You know why you don't know that? Because they didn't tell you that.
We're going to...
Pot on Fane. Fuck you, you asshole.
Yeah, he's just gone.
That guy's a jerk. God, dude, I cannot wait until Matt comes into his character.
Who was Matt's lanterns? Because they made a big deal about him getting lanterns. Does he have some other sisters that died, or?
I'm thinking that that's what that is. I'm not sure because, like I said, that's something that is that Trolloc right there is fucked up, dude. The like rabbit looking one that's on all fours eating the guy. That gives me fucking nightmares. I don't get the whole lantern things. I don't know if it was. I'm guessing maybe it was a couple of his older sisters that died. I'm thinking that maybe because they could channel and they died, because in the books they go to Tar Valon. But I think that's a good way to just kind of like eliminate the older sisters from the story. That's just my theory. I don't have any like.
Or maybe they left. He assumes they're dead.
Oh, shit. I like that. That's a good one. I like that a lot.
I lit lanterns for you for 10 years.
Yeah, you turds. You just went to be with the witches. No, stop.
Do you know how many bracelets I stole to?
Yeah, I know. You know how many people I robbed? That makes me a little bit sad because Matt's wasn't really a thief. He was like a trickster, but not, dude. Can I just tell you, like, okay, from the start of the, like, as a book person, like, if you didn't, like, just stop breathing for these entire scenes, watching this come to life was something I read when I was 15 years old. And, like, it's just, dude, Tam pulling out the sword and then the like, seeing a Trolloc on screen brought to life, and it's every bit as horrifying as you've imagined. The Heron, yes! The Heron Mark Blade. Oh! Yeah, just seeing them on the screen and they're being every bit as hulking and terrifying, and I imagine them very stinky and gross. They just look sweaty and greasy.
Oh.
Bye.
Yeah, right through the neck.
Rand, get him, Rand. Stab him in his neck.
Oh,
he had like a spear or something.
A fire poker.
Oh yeah. Okay. Man.
Oh yeah. This is Rand's first. Oh, black blood. Was that black blood?
So the deal with that, no, it's like their swords are made. There's like a forge, a blacksmith's forge, in near Sheol Gul where the Dark One is, and the way they make their blades, they have like a poison in a lot of them. And if you even get Nynaeve, dude, I like Nynaeve in the books, but it's like she's 50-50 in the books because she gets kind of like comically like over the top, like. Oh my God, that was so dope. Just, what did she even do? She just eviscerated the fucker with the power.
Oh, yeah, it looked like she made it disappear, but she didn't. She split that fucker in two.
Yeah, just like.
Dear light. Shadouken!
Yeah, seriously. Hadouken. Lan is just death with the blade. He's done a good job because he's good with the blade, and like he has to be. You know, he had to be believable with the blade, so they did good casting. Like I said, as someone who's been dreaming of seeing this for fucking 30 years, like I can't even just yes, yes, oh yes, 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 everywhere, yes, yes. Do some more. Yes, that was sick. That was so Jedi.
That was that. Let's yeah, that was understated. That was just like she like blinked, and that sword went right in the center of his forehead.
That's Egwene's mom. Come get some of this. That's just some foreshadowing because the Two Rivers. You think this is a bad Trolloc attack? The Two Rivers goes through some shit. So that lets me know that that's a storyline that they're definitely going to keep.
Okay, here it is. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I want to see what goes down here.
So what we're looking at, folks, is if Perrin maybe saved his own life instead of stabbed an innocent woman.
Dude, she's got her hammer drawn over his head. Watch it, dude. I'm telling you. Why she wouldn't just let him die right there, though, if that was the case, it doesn't make any sense.
True.
Yeah, them doing this at the beginning just lets me know that they're going to keep Matt's arc fucking hardcore cool. Dude, she's tough, dude.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yes, Lan. Yeah, Lan.
I love how he's just dancing around her.
Dude, like I said, just like I said, man, someone who's been dreaming of this, like the rest of the 7 episodes could have been complete garbage and they weren't, but I was fucking sold after this. I was like, dude, everything is going to be okay. She looks perfect.
I forgot she went up and grabbed lightning. I forget that we just see everything. She unleashes all the power.
Woo. Yeah, Moraine is pretty strong. All like she's pretty like you know, she's probably like a 3.5 to 4 in just about everything. Healing, attacking. out of five, if you're five is strongest. Sorry.
Ooh.
She's fucking wicked with that Warhammer, dude. Get him, Perrin. That's what I want to see from Perrin. Yeah, gritted teeth, not open mouth, bro. See? What's she going to hit right there? What's she going to hit?
Yeah.
Maybe it's a battle frenzy thing. I don't know. But it's like, dude, I'm sorry. She had both hands on it, drawn back over her head. She was going to smash that dude's brains.
Yeah, she was dropping that hammer on something.
Maybe she just had it like cocked back in case like the Trolloc kicked Perrin out of the way or something. But you know what? When you're directing something like this, nothing is that simple and that subtle. In my opinion,
no accidents. Yeah, not in a framed shot like that. Not when it's like
exactly
you're the only thing we can see. Do this.
You get that half second of her, you know, with it drawn back over her head. This is really cool too because it's like you just hear about this in the books, and so to see it actually happening is. But to see the Eamon's Fielders, you know, fighting the way they are, it shows you how strong they are as like a village or group of people. Ooh. Take it. Oh, Moraine got staked.
Right.
That's close to the heart.
I'm just really enjoying watching this with headphones on.
Yeah.
Sword just whizzed past my head.
I know. I heard it. My whoosh. I have it turned way down, too. Dude, just the Trollocs. And you know what? The Trollocs will get cooler too. Was that you?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jesus. And all chewy.
Oh, have you seen the map of Tiny Perfect Things?
No.
It's the cutest time travel movie you'll ever see, but there's a dog in it named Chewbarca.
What's she doing right there? Is she drawing heat off the fire?
She is.
Dude, she is using.
Oh my God. She's bringing it from the mountaintops. So do they channel the Earth's energy? Or is this more like the Force?
Like, is it? It's like I said, we were talking about it. There's five powers and there's Earth, Wind, Air, Fire, Water, and Spirit. And so. It's kind of Force-ish, but more.
Well, because
like,
the Force, I always imagine the Force is what's in between fire, water, earth, air. But it seems like they're actually drawing from the elements.
Yeah, I kind of think of it more like the Force than magic because they are making like conjuring motions. But like, it's more like to me, it's like, you know, it's inside of you. And you're using what's around you, which is like, to me, that sounds a whole lot like midichlorians.
She is spent. Don't ever say that fucking word on this podcast again.
What?
The M word.
What? Why? Is it forbidden?
It suggests that if you're not born with it, you can never achieve it. And it's the worst thing that ever happened in the Star Wars universe.
Well, here's the thing about this that makes it better. You can learn to channel the power. You don't have to be born with the spark. Spoiler.
Well, in this, that's what I mean. Yeah, in Wheel of Time, yeah, you can earn it.
But that is not everybody, but there are people who can learn. And there is no real difference in, it looks like a face over there in the clouds. I think I'm high.
Don't tell me muggles can't be magic.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like, you know, there are people who can definitely learn even though they don't have the spark, and they can be just as strong as someone born with the spark. Generally, people born with the spark are stronger because that is kind of a genealogy lineage thing, which is one of the reasons why the Aes Sedai females keep getting weaker and weaker because they're not, you know, mating with other channelers.
Oh, I want to mate with a channeler.
Yeah, right. Have a little magic baby. Man. Okay, buddy, you're three, but you're going to do all the chores. Wash the car.
I mean, obviously, there's other reasons why I couldn't be with her, but I told one of the hosts of All the Answers that I could never be with her because I couldn't have sex with someone who could read my mind.
That's why the aliens won't come back, bro.
You only get to know what I do. You don't get to know what I'm thinking about doing to you.
The aliens will never reveal themselves to us until we can stop hiding all our secrets because they communicate telepathically. Not to
That's
get
just
all
science,
weird.
Bro. That's just science.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are facts that I know. Two things that I know. Chewbacca's real, and they don't steal your fucking cell phones. People in the ghetto don't steal your cell phones.
God, I just referenced that the other night out of fucking nowhere. That's hilarious. What a random.
Patton Oswalt. Crazy. Perrin, here comes the mouth opening with Perrin. God damn it. Blessed the light. Oh, great. Everybody's sad. The wine spring is destroyed.
Great.
Dude, seriously. Every time I look at Rand's face, some people don't like, I think there are people who just absolutely love Yosha as Rand, and some people are just like, I don't, you know, most people who are haters are like, I don't like Rand. And it's like, every time I look at his face, I see the empathy, I see Rand, and I seriously, it almost makes me want to cry because knowing what he has to go through and seeing his face and like knowing his character already, it just makes me like, oh man. Buddy, it's going to get so rough for you.
I just realized she's surrounded by 1,000 injured people and she healed that motherfucker.
Exactly. Did you hear that? That's Winston. That's my little wolf brother, Winston. He wants to be on the podcast. He's been having so much fun in the snow, man. It's been crazy.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw that.
Everybody, have you posted that picture? Did you post that video on Twitter?
The one where I'm running around with the lightsaber and he's chasing me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
People, if you haven't seen it, dig around Fatty's Twitter feed and find him dancing in the snow with a lightsaber. I call it dancing because it's just beautiful, but he's, it's cool anyways, but to see it reflecting in the night off the snow, it's so beautiful, everybody.
That was why I had to do it. I was like, the glow and with the white snow, man, it's so cool. My neighbor kid, he lives up the way. He's like 8. His name's Boston. He's the cutest kid, man. He got a lightsaber for Christmas because
me and him
were fighting. I dressed up as Luke, and Lisa dressed up as Rey for Halloween. And so we had some lightsaber battles, but he got a lightsaber for Christmas from his grandma or whatever. And like the first thing his dad, he lives out here. He's like, the first thing out of his mouth was, man, I can't wait to go show Justin his lightsaber. And it was funny. I told him, I'm like, hey, you can get my number from your dad so you can text me when you're here, because he's only here on the weekends, you know? And he texted me like the next day. He's like, hey, I'm still here for a while. Do you want to have a lightsaber battle? I was like, oh, sorry, buddy. I got some stuff to do. And he's like, I was like, but when I get done, I'll text you. And he's like, okay, how about in 1 hour? And then I was like, okay, if I'm done, buddy, I'm totally down. But if not, you know, and he's like, okay, I have to go back to my mom's. We will battle next week then.
The wheel of time turns. And
he's such a cutie pie. He's like eight years old, man.
That is rad.
Yeah. This is awesome because this is like every book ends and kind of starts with a little thing like this. Yeah, dude, watching this for the first time, seeing all the characters.
So why is Nynaeve?
Why is Nynaeve what?
Oh, because she got captured. Because she can't be the one because she's 24. But I forget that she doesn't actually leave town with them. She got drug out by Trollocs.
Yeah, she got fucking yoinked by that big ass Trolloc, so. Yeah, no, this whole little, no, it went endings or beginnings and all that of the Wheel of Time.
It was a beginning.
God, the landscape and the dude, I'm sorry, the cinematography and the landscape. I know they have like drones for shots like that they probably couldn't get, you know, even 10 years ago, but dude.
Where is this film?
I think it's by, I know they're filming in Prague right now, but I think that's where it was before too.
I don't know why I don't picture Prague having that much. I don't know why. I picture Prague as being more, like not like New York, but like, I don't know why I picture more towns and not like Lord of the Rings.
Well, I think the city itself is, but then like right outside of it. Yeah, like fucking New Zealand Lord of the Rings style, exactly. Well, that's the end of episode one, man. That went fast.
That went really fast. This is fucking rad. I'm loving this so much.
Dude, you and I have wanted to do a commentary. Should we pause between episodes then and just do a whole new... Should I do another voice recording so I don't have to send them both to you?
No, just let it roll.
Okay, you can edit it later.
Yeah, because I'll probably bang these out at the same time because they won't take much editing. Like I'll cut out all of your no, I'm just joking.
I'm like, what did I say? What? You fucking asshole.
Thank you for listening to the Thank the Light podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to this commentary as much as we enjoyed making it. Hope you made it maybe part of your rewatch so you could sit down with some buddies and enjoy season one all over again. If you have any questions or comments, please write to thankthelight@gmail.com. thankthelight@gmail.com. We will be doing commentaries for all of these episodes. So if you want to get ahead of episode 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, send us some questions or Easter eggs that we should keep our eye out for, things to look for, just whatever. Please join us. Also follow the Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailman on Twitter. And if you're interested in other podcasts, please go to whatsoundsawesome.com. That is whatsoundsawesome.com. We have lots of great podcasts. What I'm hyping up this week is the triumphant return of Time Pop. That's right. My time travel movie podcast is back. Ari is back with me. We are adding Scott into the fold for the third leg of our tripod. Check out Time Pop, new episode out now. Thank the light. Just the way I like it, yeah. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Balls, 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 balls.